This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns on this Small Business Saturday. Get out there and shop small, local. Every dollar is important all year long. I shouldn't need a day, but American Express decided they'd have a day. So let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Tom in Harwinton. What's going on, Tom?
Hi, Eric and Dennis. How you doing?
Good.
All right.
So I got a question for you about flash drives. And I'm kind of confused right now. I have four flash drives that are USB, and I have one flash drive that's a USC. Now, the computer I have has four different ports on the front. I was told two of them are for USB and the other two are for USC. I just took one of my USB flash drives and I plugged it into the USC port, and it opened it up, you know, with Explorer, and I went to one of my files and I opened it up. Everything's working perfectly fine, like I plugged it into the port for USB. Mm-hmm. Then I clicked on properties for the F drive, because that's what this flash drive is, and it shows it as a Lexar USB. Flash drive USB device.
Yeah.
So I'm totally confused. Is USB and USC interchangeable? Do you need special ports to be able to use these?
Yes, they're interchangeable. There's different speeds of different USB ports.
Well, yeah, that's number one. What you may have on the front of your computer that are all normal USB ports, you know, old-fashioned ones, like from the late 90s when they first became available. So you may have a couple of those that are high-speed ports.
Right. Different colored tongues.
And it'll have a different, yeah, it'll have a different color on the tongue inside. And then the other two will be just normal USB 2.0
ports
that are, you know, that go back to, you know, 15 or 20 years.
Yeah.
Now, the third kind of USB, and it's all USB, it's just different implementations.
Yeah.
The third kind is this much smaller little port
That's
oval at both ends, and it's actually reversible. You can plug it in either direction.
Right.
That's USB-C.
Right.
But effectively, it's all USB in that it's all part of that particular range of device. But the USB-C ports are much, much faster even than the high-speed USB normal ports. I know. I'm sorry. I'm not making a whole lot of sense here.
But it's all part of the confusion.
Yeah. If you can plug them all into the same ports, you're good, and it should default to the highest speed that your device can handle. So if your device is a third gen USB, you know, 3.0 version, it'll run that high speed data transfer. If it's the standard one, it won't.
But you can't take a USB or a USC flash drive and plug it into a port for a USB-C because it's a different type of port.
Right, those are smaller.
Well,
okay.
Well, USB-C is the little oval thing.
Yeah, you can't. Right? It's just tiny.
And that's a physical, that's not only an electronic or computer standard, it's also a physical standard.
Mm.
With USB, what are called A ports,
yeah,
which are the ones that you're familiar with and have been around for 25 years.
The black tongues, I think.
Right. Those, well, actually, just regardless of the color of the tongue, those are all USB-A ports, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's a description of the physical size of the port and the physical pin arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, there are some USB-A ports that are designed to be high speed and they use USB 3 protocol.
Right. They might have a white or a blue. I can't remember which colors are faster. But yeah, they do designate them so you can see the differences. So you get the most performance out of your USB devices when you plug them in there, if those devices can communicate at those speeds. That's what makes it all fun.
But the ports are different.
If they're physically different,
they are.
Yeah, they are different, yes, but they're the same size.
There's no way you're going to take a USB or USC and plug it into the USB-C port because one is rectangular and the other one is circular.
Correct. You have to buy an adapter.
Okay.
Yeah, there are adapters that can pass one to the other if you want.
Yeah.
I see. See, my real concern is I've got 5 flash drives, and these are my backups, and each flash drive has the same thing on it. So I've got 5 attempts to get my data back if one of these flash drives go bad. And these USB flash drives are very old. I mean, a couple of them are probably 8 or 10 years old.
Wow.
But they still work perfectly fine. I'm going to have to replace this computer because of the Windows upgrade next October. And I'm thinking, I would never have thought of this, but if they put in ports that these flash drives can't access, I have no backups.
Yeah. You can adapt. You can adapt.
Yeah, you can buy adapters to go in either direction.
Yep.
All right, so that's not a problem. All right.
No, and they're only a couple dollars each on Amazon or wherever else.
Well, it wouldn't matter. I mean, if I need to get to my backups, I need to get. I mean, if they were $100, I'd have to buy one. Yeah.
That's
all right. Well, all right. Now I feel a little more at ease about this.
Good.
I thought I was really only working with one flash drive, the USC.
Right.
Because with a new computer, the USBs wouldn't be readable. But I understand the difference now. So.
Good.
Okay. All right,
and we'll put a link. You're welcome.
We're going to put an article up for everybody to read that gives you a way out of all the different types of connectors and the different types of USB.
Right. Thanks, Tom. Let's move on to your calls. We're going to go to George in Longmeadow, Mass. What's going on, George?
Good morning.
Morning.
First, I got 2 issues. The first one, please don't laugh.
All right.
I bought a Dell Latitude 7480 at a garage sale. I only paid $20 for it, so
all right.
I'm not in a lot of trouble. But it apparently was used in on a business platform of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And when I try to open it, and I knew this when I bought it, by the way,
that
it says BitBlocker.
Right.
Enter the PIN to unlock this drive.
Right. You can't do that.
Okay. So what do I do with this besides put it in the trash on Tuesday morning?
Well, you wouldn't put it in the trash. You'd get it responsibly e-cycled by your town, hopefully. Or you could go buy a $300 hard drive, pop out the one that's in there, pop in your new non-BitLocker drive. And now the machine should work. It'll have no operating system. So then you got to go buy a $300 operating system or hope that the recovery – well, you won't have any recovery because you're BitLockered. You can't even recover. So you have to buy an operating system. So now you're paying for Windows 11, which won't work on that old machine. So now you're trying to find an old copy of Office, or you can do Ubuntu, like the guy called in earlier. So you're basically about $600 into a $20 computer. You may want to go and just go get a computer.
Well, I bought it from my 6-year-old grandson to fool with.
Yeah.
But and I don't believe this. It seems to me I had to back off this machine, and I don't believe it has a hard drive in it.
Well, it would. It does because it's coming up with that BitLocker request.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, it would have to.
Now you could give it to your six-year-old grandson, and he can play IT guy. Here's a computer. It doesn't work. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Just keep rebooting.
See if you can fix it. See if you can fix it.
Yeah. If he does, we'll give him a job.
I've got a couple of older, I can't remember whether they're solid state or not. I got a couple of older hard drives.
They're going to have to be like 2.5-inch, these smaller sizes to fit in that little. If you have to open the back, flip it over, or go online and get the manual to see what type of drive it takes. But again, you're gonna still have no operating system. Now you got to buy an operating system, or like I said, Ubuntu or something like that.
I've already got a license that I can use, so I'm sort of there.
Okay.
It's just a matter of I'll give the hard drive thing a try.
Yeah.
So the second question is, I have a I have three HP Envy Elite books.
Yeah.
None of them has a disk drive. And I have a piece of software that I own, mm-hmm. paid for, have the keys and everything that I would like to use.
Yep.
So how do I get it from a 5.5-inch disk to something that I can use with one of the HP computers?
Wow. 5.5-inch disk.
5.5.
Mm, that's old school.
Yeah.
You're back at a garage sale again.
Well, 5.25 floppy drive? Is that what we're talking about? Well,
it's a manufacturer. It's a software company you would recognize.
Okay.
So whatever the size of the disk is, it's their disk, and I own it, and I'm just trying to use the software.
Yeah, if you can, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is trying to find an external USB disk drive, which they might still exist. You might be able to find some on eBay or something like that. eBay is a good source of old equipment.
Of course.
Based on the drive size. So if it's got a USB interface and those Envys have a USB port, if they do, if they should, you might be able to have it recognize it. Although I have never in my career tried to stick a floppy into a laptop at these vintages. They might work. I mean, what do you think, Dennis? It should.
The computer I'm trying to put it on, I've got three Elite books.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
HP Elite books.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get.
I know. I just don't know how it's going to treat it and recognize it, and then it's going to want to load it, and that floppy disk is going to be like, I'd feel like a disembodied, you know, it doesn't know what to do. It may not understand the BIOS or the operating system.
The operating system is an issue, but I have worked with floppy drive readers that connect by USB.
On Windows 7, Windows 10, probably older stuff.
This would have been Windows.
This was on a machine that had Windows 10 on it.
Yeah, Windows 10. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go find them. eBay. Maybe you don't have to go on eBay then to find a reader for that. But
You might be able to get it.
If you're saying what I need is an external.
Yeah.
Floppy drive.
Floppy drive. Look, I've got an old Dell brick that the only reason I've hung on to it is because it's got a 3.5-inch drive in it, and I've got a bunch of documents on 3.5-inch drives.
Gotcha.
So you know, it's just a matter of how many computers do I want to keep in order to get this done.
Just the sound of those floppy drives used to make. Oh, the good old days.
It takes me back.
Yes, like music to our ears.
Well, I'm an old-time Lotus user.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. An old-time.
It's okay.
I used to use DOS Shell. Mm-hmm. So
anybody finds your stuff, they're not going to be able to do a thing with it. You're completely secure. Exactly.
That's okay.
Yeah, exactly. You're secure, George. All right.
So I will try looking at eBay and see if I can find it an external floppy drive.
All right. Very good. Good luck.
Hey, thanks for the help. And I'll if I get this BitBlocker thing to work, I'll let you know.
You won't get past BitLocker, but that'd be nice to know.
Well, if I wind up being able to put a drive in.
Oh, yeah. Let us know about that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, George.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. We're going to step up for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. Ah, yes. The sound of money. The old school hard currency there, Dennis.
Yeah. Real thing, not Bitcoin.
Correct. Which, of course, now is going to get supported more by the new administration, which bothers me to no end. But it is what it is. If you guys want to pay for that, you can. All right. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Todd in Summers next. He was on the longest. What's happening, Todd?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Love the show and happy holidays.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, I need to upgrade my Chromebook to something better for banking and brokerage only. I'm in the Clark Howard School of the isolated machine.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, maybe tablet. You know, I've been using a Chromebook, and I don't really need the laptop. I don't need the bulk of that. Mm-hmm. Is a tablet a good option for being cheaper? And I don't need Office. I don't need any of that. I just go to a few sites and no email.
Yeah. A tablet could work. Yeah. As long as you're not using it for anything else. So you could,
absolutely.
Samsung tablet. Yeah. Samsung tablet or iPad, whichever tablet you prefer.
Yeah, I'm in Galaxy World, so Samsung World, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, those work beautiful. I mean, the Clark Howard approach, I think, is one of the best ones because you just can't trust anything these days.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in it, and I wish Chromebook was still up to snuff, but I guess it's not a secure thing to try to get a new Chromebook. They only last a couple of years, I guess, now with the security.
Yeah, they're definitely not what they used to be, and a lot of the apps don't work really well. I mean, we still have issues with banking apps on the Chromebooks. It's like, what is wrong with this stuff? So
okay, I've noticed that too.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. That will save me some money, and I can tuck it away in the drawer instead of leaving it on my desk.
Right, exactly. So
if I get the tablet. Excellent.
All right, Todd.
Very good. Appreciate it.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye. I think I know that, Todd. We're going to go on to Zig in Wilmington, North Carolina. Hello, Zig.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Well, I think a previous one just answered part of my question. Number one is I've got a Chromebook like I thought you recommended me to do a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I eat my own cat food. I recommend what I do, so I'm going to tell you what. Yeah, what's it doing? Is it giving you trouble?
Well, I put it on remote display with a remote screen, and the remote screen comes out with it narrowed down, and I didn't know whether that I should look in the Chromebook or on the digital screen and what I should be looking for to change that kind of a display, and if that might not even be possible.
All right, so we'll have to look that up. We're coming up against a hard break. I haven't tried that before, so you're using it as a remote display.
No, it's plugged into the USB-C port on the Chrome.
Okay, and as an additional display. Okay,
I have to go through the adapters.
All right, yeah, let us take a look at to see if there's any settings, but it could be based on the hardware. But let's take a peek, Zig. Are we put you on hold?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, you got it. We'll see what we can do for Zig, and we'll see what we can do for you guys. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We have three lines open for you. Everything's been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com, or if you follow us on Facebook in the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. Of course, if you miss a show, you can go and get it from your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can subscribe to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows. We'll be right back. All right. That's a classic. We're going to be here till 11. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842 on this Small Business Saturday. You're shopping small, but you're going to buy a lot. So I always found that shop small, they really want you to just spend a lot. So shop big when you shop small, if you know what I mean. We're going to go to Zig in Wilmington, North Carolina with his monitor. So Dennis was doing some lookup. I was as well. There's definitely, so Chromebook settings are a big pain in the butt. That's number one. Did you find anything, Dennis?
Yeah, we found a way to change the orientation of a display.
Yeah.
In the Chromebook settings.
Have you tried that, Ziggy? There, Zig?
Yep, I'm here. I'm ready to listen to how to do that.
All right.
Well, we posted it on Facebook, but I can see if I can tell you how to do it. What you're going to do is go into the Chromebook settings. You're going to go to device and then displays.
Okay.
And then you're going to look for the orientation section under the display that you're working with.
That's the key.
That's the key.
Don't do the wrong display, because then you'll be twisting your neck.
Yeah, well, there's the built-in display of the whichever device, but then you've got an additional display that you're sending it to. So you got to work with that.
Okay, that's the Dell remote, okay?
All right, and then there should be a drop-down menu next to it. If the menu reads 0 degrees default, then that would be why it doesn't rotate the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Tap that menu and then maybe select auto rotate or perhaps another option in that list.
Okay, super.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, now that I did, I wasn't able to listen real clearly, but did you just say that if I asked you the same question for doing financials now, you would recommend the pad?
They're handy. I mean, you can go and browse as long as you don't mind typing on a tablet, right? Dealing with the fact that if you're doing any work in your, you know, Fidelity account or your Vanguard account, whatever it might be, understanding that some of those moving around on a tablet is going to be using a touchscreen, right? And the keyboard built into it can be very effective. The Chromebooks they're just problematic. The apps are not very good, and if you had a choice and you wanted to take it with you, and maybe it's more productive, tablets are the way to go these days, I think. As long as you don't use them for anything else. That's the biggest issue, is you got to be very disciplined and buy it for just that one reason, right? And that sometimes gets hard to get through committee sometimes. She might be like, what do you mean you're going to buy a tablet just to do this? Come on. I want to go ahead and look up a recipe, or can I borrow your tablet to go check out this, you know, restaurant? And when that happens, the purpose of the tablet goes out the window, because you're trying to isolate it from any kind of potential vulnerabilities that you might get when you surf. But nothing's perfect.
Yeah, no, that's no problem.
All right.
But the issue that I have also with the Chromebook is when I was messing around trying to get this thing to work before, with the previous question, I pushed on something that said casting screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes up with something called Loft, L-O-F-T. And I had no idea what I was pushing buttons on. Well, Loft turns on a TV in the guest bedroom.
Yeah, you've got a Chromecast that you called Loft. So what you're doing is, like, if you've got your Vanguard up in front of you, you've cast it to whoever's hanging out in the guest bedroom. And they're like, Zig's pretty doing pretty well.
Yeah. So what is Loft? How do I get rid of Loft? Or where did that come from?
Loft is a form of screen sharing where it casts it's a way of conveying the contents of your display on the device to like a television or something.
Right.
Else.
I'm guessing though that he called his Chromecast the Loft.
No, it's software that does it.
You're kidding.
No.
I thought Chromecast was built into it. You didn't need another.
Well, it's what is in Chromecast. That's what it installs in order to do that.
I always thought it was just casting. All right. You got me there, Dennis.
Yeah, no, I need to download. I never downloaded any kind of strange programs called Loft.
No, it's built in. The casting is built in. I've never known it was called Loft. I assumed you called your Chromecast Loft.
No.
Are you serious, so Dennis?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. I gave it to the other room, and a screen picture there as big as can be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but you obviously have a castable device in that Loft.
Well, yeah, the device did its
searches.
Yeah, its own search on your network and found a compliant device with that.
Right. So most devices have names, and then it asked you if you wanted to cast to this device. So
no, it didn't even ask me that. It just said cast, and the next thing you know, my TV turns on, even though it's black. I don't know whether it's a sleep mode. And my real question then concerned me, because now we're in this continuing care place with a couple of other places in a villa, and whether I could have cast to my neighbors or not.
Oh, you could have. If they're on your network, if somehow you've connected them to your system, you have to find their castable device, and you have to incorporate it into your network. So if they set theirs up securely, you're probably fine, unless you happen to take your device over to their apartment and they said, hey, Zig, why don't you go ahead and cast the movie? Here's our device. Then you've incorporated it, right? So now you can cast that way.
No, I'm only casting Vanguard. So, I mean, I'm not even cast. I'm only using Vanguard and
right.
Fidelity. I don't want to cast. And I can't find any place to get rid of cast, but I don't want to take up any more of your time.
No, you can't, really. It's built in.
It's built into the thing.
Yeah.
It's finding it on its own. It's just telling you about it.
Yeah, yeah. And you can't get rid of that.
Just ignore it.
Yeah. Just watch where you're casting.
Yeah, I'm not going to cast anymore. Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it all the time.
You got it, Zig. I learned something, too.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. Loft. I didn't even know there was a name for it.
Yeah. Well, you can find mentions of it. There isn't any like clear explanation of what it is and how it got onto your Chromebook,
right.
But it appears to be a way for the Chromebook to talk to certain
another
TV
way to
devices.
Yeah, so it's another extra tool.
Yeah,
yeah, that can be embarrassing depending on what you're casting. What's your neighbors? Uh-oh, Zig's not doing so well. Oh, he's doing well. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so stick around. Anything you want to bring up, Dennis, news-wise?
Yeah, I do. I have a little story about ISPs.
Yeah.
The industry that everybody loves to hate for obvious reasons.
Yep.
Recently, they responded to some federal government complaints with the FBI.
With the FBI?
FCC.
Oh, FCC. Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm sorry. I misspoke.
That's okay.
FCC. Yeah. And they said that there's a reason why their customers don't usually change providers.
Oh, yeah.
It's because of their excellent customer service.
That's the reason, huh?
Yeah. Wow. They're so good that they hold on to their customers.
Wow. That's...
Now, you would think that the reason that they would be holding on to their customers is because usually, no matter where you are, there is only really one broadband provider.
Right. Two if you're lucky.
Well, and you would think that that's what is making people stay, okay?
Right.
But no,
no,
it's because of their excellent customer service.
And their low prices.
And yeah, oh, really, really, really cheap, right?
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
So that's what they said to the FCC, huh?
They did. They actually said that.
With a straight face. We'll put the article up there for you. You can read it. Thankfully, here in Connecticut, we have more than one or two. We finally have three or four. You've got, obviously, Go NetSpeed, which is a great option for fiber service compared to the incumbents. The incumbents are so scared, they're now rushing to give you big deals to hold you. So the competition in Connecticut is great. It's giving all of us better choices. You've got wireless choices. You got Starlink now as a choice. A little expensive, I think, still, but it's an option, not as fast as fiber.
Right.
And then, of course, you have the cellular providers that offer cell service, because you even see the cable providers marketing against them. So, and there's plenty of folks who use like T-Mobile or Verizon or AT&T home cellular. It's basically a modem that kind of, think of it as any kind of modem that would be connected to your network. Sometimes it has to be near a window, and it would produce good options for internet service and not connected to any kind of wire. So it's, you literally have cut the cord, and you can still stream. You can still stream your whatever you're doing. You can still be on the internet fairly well, as long as you're close enough to the pole. And these services have the big antennas that are out there. They're going to tell you how close your proximity is to see if you actually get a good result or not. So they're not going to want to sell it to you if it's not going to work. And it's only like $30 or $40. So lots of alternatives. You don't need to have a car payment worth of internet these days. You could save a lot of money by choosing an alternative. And what is that going to do? Make those guys lower their prices.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing what competition can do. Thank your legislature for keeping them out for so long. and Pura and all those guys. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We'll take a quick break here. Four lines open, 860-522-9842 is the number. And hope you're out there shopping on Small Business Saturday. Shop local. Support your local businesses. We'll be right back. And we are back. Yeah, nowadays you need all the money in the world to buy anything these days. Hopefully that changes. We're going to be here till 11. Feel free to get online if you'd like. Four lines wide open, 860-522-9842 is the number. And Dennis has a story that this is a story we've talked about with in other examples before, yeah. And I can't believe these ding-dongs are still that stupid to do what they're about to do. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a health club out in near Kansas City.
Yep.
They got an email from a guy.
Yeah.
who described how he hacked into their network and what he did while he was in it.
Jeez.
Not a whole lot, but just a little exploring.
Yeah.
And he discussed how far he could have gone if he had wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, you know, I can help you secure your network. And he even passed along a resume. He was hacking into them in order to get hired by them. And apparently he did the same thing to a nonprofit. While he was in the health club systems, he changed his own monthly membership fee to $1.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a way to get a job.
Yeah, that's a really ethical guy that you want working for you, right?
Must have been Catch. He must have just watched Catch Me If You Can or something like that.
Well, what happened was late last week, he was indicted by a U.S. District Court grand jury, and he was arrested. So he is going to be prosecuted for computer crimes, which are federal.
Right.
And it's serious.
Good.
So hopefully the book will be thrown at him.
Yeah. It's amazing, right? I mean, we have these stories on forever and ever. There's, you know, IT companies out there that were hacking potential companies just to say, hey, you know, we should, you know, almost not telling them that they're the ones that caused the issue, and then coming in and saying, hey, do you have any IT needs? Oh, really? I heard you got ransomed. You got hacked. Oh, we could have helped you. I mean, it's just an awful blight on our business, you know, to be in that situation, to be an IT guy, and you're that desperate for work, you're going to actually, you know, commit a crime to then say, hey, hire me.
It blows my mind to think that somebody would actually think that that's a valid way hired.
It is. Zig's calling back. Oh, nope. Zig's, they're both gone.
Oh,
I think Zig was calling back. But yeah, that's the day and age we live in. You know, these, I don't know, was that a kid? How old was that guy? I usually tell you.
Let's see here.
I guess she's 27. Gen Z. Just taking a shot there.
I don't see it in the story that I got.
Really?
That's
all they do is these days is put everybody's age in whenever, you know, IT guy age. All right. Well, so we got calls coming in. We got, I think Zig is coming back. No, he's not. We got Gary in Weathersfield coming up next, I think. Sorry, Will in Southington. Will in Southington's first. Hey, Will, what's up?
Good morning.
Morning.
I have an old Windows 7.
Yep.
And I've had it for a long time. She's been acting very good, but the last few weeks, buffering, that's what Frontier told me she's doing. One day she's outstanding, like new.
Yeah.
Next day I get the beach ball, the circle that goes round and around. You'd be watching like something on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Another time, I want to check something out. I'm into natural healing.
Yeah.
And I like to check out reports. And when I go to punch in something and I click on it to get what I'm going to get.
Yep.
And I get, HMMM. We can't find that site.
Okay.
Another time I'll do the same thing, maybe Firefox or DuckDuckGo, one or the other, and I get a hookup. You need to your something about hook up to the internet.
Yeah, you're dropping.
Then I do it again, and that hook up to the internet totally disappears.
Are you hardwired, Will, or are you wireless?
Wireless, totally wireless.
All right. I would agree with that.
So these different emblems are a pain in the neck.
Sure.
They don't. So is there anything simple? I have not rebooted yet. I'm not sure what the proper way is to reboot.
Is it a laptop or a computer?
This is a regular desktop.
A desktop that's wireless.
Yeah, I think they have all kinds of papers on top of it. I don't like the newest ones where they're all just skinny. You can't store nothing on top.
Okay. All right. How far away is it from your router? Your wireless router, is it?
The router is in the living room.
Mm-hmm. 20 feet? Yeah. 100 feet?
Oh, no, not that much. Maybe you have to walk to the left, go down the hallway, and then to the right.
Mm-hmm.
So I never had this problem before.
I hear you. We get that all the time. So about 30 feet?
No.
Less than that?
If you were to walk straight through the wall,
yeah,
maybe 15.
Okay, it's right there. All right, so it's not a distance issue. It's one of two things. You're either connecting on the 5G and you're having issues there, or your wireless card inside your computer, I think, is failing. That's what
The wireless card?
Yeah, the wireless device inside your computer is failing. You need to go get a USB, an external USB wireless adapter.
My memory's terrible. I'm almost 80.
All right. It's okay.
USB.
USB external wireless adapter. Go to Staples.
External wireless
adapter. And you need to get that because your wireless card is, I think, failing. What do you think, Dennis?
I would agree with that.
All right.
I was also going to ask if he changed his router at all recently.
Mm. Did you get a new internet service?
That was changed roughly about 2 years ago by Frontier.
So it's not that. Okay.
They put the fiber in.
Yeah.
All right. So now I have a white thing, flat, maybe about 6 by 6 inches, and then the tall one, which is the actual router, I guess.
Yeah.
Very tall, say about 10 inches high. Roughly.
Yep.
That's got the serial number underneath somewhere.
Okay.
Got all kinds of numbers on it.
All right. What I'm thinking is your device, your wireless card or adapter is just tired and is not connecting. So you need a new one.
How do you put that into the...
Most likely you have an external USB port looking at it. You're probably looking at it when you turn the machine on. It's probably a port right in front of you. You're going to use one of those ports as the adapter, and you're going to just literally stick it in, and it should, quote unquote, auto config. It's going to get.
So rebooting wouldn't really do much.
Rebooting? Well, you can always reboot your computer, and that's always something. But when you're saying you're going to drop the way you're dropping, and the problems you're having with reliability, it sounds to me like a network card to me.
Okay. It just started doing it a few weeks ago. It did do it once before.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman came over. He's my neighbor, but he's never home anymore. He's got a young girl, and
good for him.
he's also a computer. What do you call it, for some company?
Yeah, he's a geek.
What he did is he said, "Do you have anything that's personal in there?" I says, "Heck no, nothing financial or anything."
Right.
So what he did, it took about 3 hours, but he emptied everything down to nothing, like it was brand new, and then started up again.
Yep.
Wow, it lasted a whole year, just perfect.
Yeah, he cleared your cache and made some room for you.
But now she's back to doing the buffering.
Yeah, but when you're saying the warnings are about dropping the network, I think your card is dying. So go get another one from Staples. You're going to ask them for an external USB wireless adapter. And you're going to follow the instructions, and you're going to connect to your SSID, your Frontier service you said you had, right?
You're going too fast. SSID?
Yeah. When you connect to your Frontier service, it gave you an SSID, a wireless network to connect to.
Connect to what?
Your wireless network that Frontier has given you.
Wireless network. I have to jot everything down.
Yep.
Okay. Connect to wireless network, and then what?
That'll do it. Once you get that adapter plugged in, I mean, it should auto-load for you. I'm hoping to gosh it does. And
otherwise, she's been very good for an old Windows 7. Okay. I'll try that.
All right. And definitely take the papers off of it. Let it breathe.
I'm short of room, and these reports take a lot of room. My table is knee-high to a grasshopper. Way up there.
All right.
Yeah. I healed my own heart valve leakage with avocado.
Yeah, you've called before. I've heard you talk about that before.
I love healing the body with. I love helping other people.
Nice.
You ever have inflammation? You go with pineapple.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that worked for my son. Pineapple. My son had some major jaw surgery and drank a bunch of pineapple juice, and the doctors were amazed. Yeah. He had no swelling afterwards. So there's some truth to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. Hey, everything that we have wrong with our body, even cancer, you can knock it out.
Well,
you don't need chemotherapy.
I don't know about that. I would still go to the cancer doctor, but I appreciate your call here.
Remember Suzanne Summers? She killed it the first time with stem cell therapy.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, she passed away this past year, but yeah. No, 21 years later,
yeah.
She was in remission. So there's a lot of truth to
it. All right. Well, we got to go. I appreciate your call. Good luck with the adapter, sir.
I definitely will try that. Yes. Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. I want to thank Carolyn for producing. Thank you guys for calling in on this small business Saturday. I want to thank Mike for posting everything live over at Computer Talk with Tab with Dennis, as well as the Facebook page and our X feed. And you guys are the best. We appreciate you. Without you guys calling in, we talk about our kids and our cats.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you guys next Saturday.